Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
LaFondra looking to get Costai to Font. LaFondra away from Davis. 3-1 running. 3 points running.
Hello. Welcome. Bonjour to the Elm Park Royals podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. If you can't tell, I'm in a great mood this morning. Reading have just picked up their first win of the season at home against Cardiff City 2-1 at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. And I have been joined by Matt to discuss it this morning. Matt, how are we?
Doing very well. Got my new Reading home shirt. Sun is shining. 3 points. Couldn't be happier.
And who did you get on the back?
Oh, I've got Long on the back, of course. If anyone gets anyone else on the back this season, I would be surprised. It's always going to be Long.
Of course, this is a visual medium. This is an audio medium, and he's holding his shirt up to the camera, showing us that he's got Long 7 on the back. So, yes, it's probably going to be the most popular name this season, I think. And jojoining us for his debut on the Elm Park Royals podcast is George, our famed designer at Elm Park Royals. George, how did you enjoy yesterday?
Oh, it's beautiful. Like Matt said, sun was shining, few beers, football, can't beat it.
I really struggle to think of many times we've done well in the sun in summer, and like, you know, things just feel good. So it's a really nice feeling. It always feels like we end up like disappointing when it's early in the season at home. So it was lovely to get off to a winning home start yesterday.
I think you're forgetting, what was it, the 7 wins in a row from about 2 years ago. Do we just
I don't know if that counts. Don't know if it counts in my head. I wasn't there. So the obviously yesterday, though, started off with a bit of a bad note, because we went into yesterday, Matt, with the news that there was going to be some changes from last weekend based off of Paul Ince's presser from earlier in the week. And the fact was that there was only one change in the end, but it was a fairly big one, with Yaku Mate out injured and Shane Long starting up front. That left our bench looking incredibly weak yesterday.
Yeah, I think most Reading fans wouldn't be able to say they know or have seen most of that bench play before in their lives. It's an incredibly inexperienced bench. I don't want to say weak, we've not seen them play, but inexperienced bench. And it just shows the depth of our squad and how, you know, we've only got a first 11 pretty much with all of our injuries, and there isn't much options available. With Mate out, how long's he out for?
4 weeks with a calf injury.
4 weeks. Yeah, so he'll probably come back after the international break or so, as is Jao. You know, you've got a 35 36 year old Shane Long leading the line for the next month. It's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, George, it's I don't want to say predictable that Yaku Mate has got injured, because I think that's harsh, but it really does kind of show up our lack of depth in so many areas when you look at the bench from yesterday. And the fact that we're still unable to, you know, sign Naby Sarr, is still kind of trying to get an approval from the EFL. Who knows whether this is going to happen or not at the moment, whether we can, you know, whether that's going to get approved. Loom is still waiting on a visa. There's so many just holdups, it seems, in terms of getting this squad finalised for the season.
For sure. I mean, the minute someone goes out, that team, that first 11, as Matt says, to injury, we're always going to be weakened, whether it's Mate or Zhao's out as well. It's going to be one of those sticking points where we're just going to have to kind of bare our teeth and deal with it for as long as we can. Because I think, I don't know how long this Naby Sarr situation is going to roll on for. Ince is saying next week it could roll on right out.
I think he said next week last week, though, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, it's down to we need to get another player off our books, one of the higher earners, whether that's Moore or Pushkas, probably the more likely out of the two, I'd say. But yeah, until that happens, apparently it won't get approved. With the Amari Hutchinson one, I have no idea what's going on there and what's holding that one up.
I think that one's going to, if that happens, it's going to be like a last minute situation and we get an extra body in the door kind of situation. But
sure.
Yes. And with that bench being so weak, you couldn't really imagine that there was anybody on there who was going to be able to change a game, Matt. And unfortunately, it didn't take long for Reading to really need somebody to change a game because they found themselves 1-0 down after, what was it, 3 minutes yesterday? 3.5 minutes? And the goal comes from Reading's ultimate nemesis, set pieces.
So it was a really, really frustrating goal because it just felt so easy. Who was it? Is it Hendrick who missed his header at the back post? And it just looked like a really easy, Cardiff were here, just turn up and they'll get a goal 3 minutes in. I think it might have even been the first chance they had. And it kind of sets off a very almost like dangerous precedent for the season of, right, we're 3 minutes in, both games, we've conceded really early, and you could just sort of hear the crowd sort of slump a little bit, like, oh no, is it going to be this season again?
Because the atmosphere was actually not, it was loud for the first 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, exactly that. It was frustrating that it was you know, 3 minutes in and you suddenly concede and it's everyone's thinking back to last season, are we going to go on 10 losses in a row and things like that?
Yeah, and George, the goal, as Matt said, it did feel quite easy. I think Hendrick completely loses his man. O'Dowd makes a really simple run just basically around the back of the Cardiff group of players, finds himself not unmarked, but it's quite a simple finish for O'Dowd. And I don't know whether Hendrick really takes the blame for it, but it's definitely his man. He's lost him and he just hasn't been able to kind of like recover in time to challenge for the header.
Well, set piece defending again, it's something that's becoming a bit tiresome, I think, among Reading fans. It's something we almost expect now or the most likely place we're going to concede from a set piece. And you're right. I think Hendrick was the one who completely lost his man, let him run in behind, create the space for himself. And I think a player like O'Dowd, I mean, he's a winger. He shouldn't be winning a header, no chance, from a set piece. So to get the time and space he got was just criminal, really. But yeah, we just roll on, I think, onto that.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost a free header for him, I think, and it was a fairly easy finish. And O'Dowd had the next chance as well, George, 10 minutes later or so. And this was a pretty good piece of play here from Joe Lumley, who I think Joe Lumley, now we're two games into the season, what do you think of his performances so far?
I've actually been very impressed. I think that second shot, as you were just talking about there from O'Dowd, I mean, he's a big fella, Joe Lumley. To get down that quickly, I think... was very impressive. And the way he just commanded his box. I mean, you can hear him from the stands when he's shouting along to his defence and he has little words here and there. I found it quite encouraging, actually, because I think when he first signed, I think a lot of Reading fans would agree in saying that it was a very underwhelming signing to get in as a goalkeeper replacement. But I think he's starting to warm up to a lot of us and... yeah, long may it continue.
He's definitely got an air of confidence about him, Matt, especially with crosses.
Yeah, he came out and collected pretty much every cross that came his way, especially at the end of the game. It was great to see him come out, collect the ball from the air, sit on the ground, waste 30 seconds, and actually just sort of slow the game down. And I think the back four or five, however we're setting up, just had a bit of confidence in he's going to come and collect it. And I don't know if that's what's affecting us in the first 10 minutes at the moment. Are the back four or five, I know we change through the game, but is the back line confident in how to work together at the moment? I don't think they are. I think that's what led to that chance where Lumley saved it, in McIntyre just making a mistake trying to clear it, Yeardon being pulled slightly out of position, so left a man free. I think they just need to start gelling a bit more together, and it'd be great if we can get Naby Sarr in just to give it a bit more experience as well.
I think if you add Hutchinson in there at the back, who, you know, still hasn't made his debut yet. So if you can add him in at the back, it's suddenly you can then move Yeardon back out to right wing back, and you've got three centre backs playing this. And it just feels a bit more natural, I guess, to all the players. So hopefully they don't need to play these roles for a long period of time. But yeah, certainly I think you might be onto something with the gelling of their positions isn't quite there for the start of games yet. The first half, let's be honest, the first 20 minutes, Cardiff definitely did dominate. But I mean, after that, Matt, they struggled really with us after this incident. And let's talk about the first Reading goal, the homecoming and the crowning of Shane Long, the king scoring on his return to the SCL with a penalty. What led up to the penalty, though, let's be honest here, probably one of the worst refereeing decisions I've seen in ages. I don't even want to put a time limit on it because it was that bad. Tom Ince rounds the keeper after a really good headed flick on from Shane Long, and he's rounded the keeper. He's definitely going to score here. Like, this is the referee's excuse. He wasn't sure whether Tom Ince was going to shoot. What? Like, I just don't understand that at all. Come on. It's just...
I think his justification is maybe that a second defender is going to make it back. But this is like a huge centre-back who had zero pace all game. He's never going to make it back. And he was, you know, 2 yards behind Tom Ince to the right. So I don't think he's ever going to make it. I think the referee's just bottled it and didn't want to do a sending off. And, you know, it's fairly early in the game. He's got an excuse to be able to give a yellow card. So it's like an easy decision to try to give the yellow card rather than the red, but it's a red card. It was a clear goal scoring opportunity. He'd rounded the keeper. There's nothing else to say. It's a red card.
George, are you going to argue with him and say it was a yellow card?
I don't see how it's a yellow card. I said it to my friend who was at a game with me. The inconsistency in these refs with their decision-making, not just the penalty decision. I think there were a few fouls throughout the game that were questionable. But I think, yeah, it had to be a red card. He's on his left foot, which is his dominant foot. He's tucking that away.
It's one touch, isn't it? It's one more touch. It's a goal.
Just
an awful decision. I just can't. Thankfully, it didn't cost us. Like, let's not focus on it too much because
it was well rounded by Ince. You know,
it was a lovely piece of play by Tom Ince.
Yeah,
it was a lovely piece of play, and you know, he would have scored. I've got no doubt in my mind he would have just tucked that away with one more touch. It didn't cost us though, thankfully. Shane Long, George, 10 years since his last goal for Reading, which was a penalty against Cardiff. This one, bottom corner. Nicely tucked away. And how great was it to see Shane Long wheeling away into the southeast corner of the stadium, having scored for Reading again?
I think it's safe to say I went absolutely nuts when that call went slid in. I was just praying it went in as well, but he just looked completely comfortable taking it and just seeing him, immediately march over to Club 1871 in front of the fans, arms stretched. Oh, it rolling back the years, just like that.
And Matt, it was a massive moment. I said it when we were there to you, and it's a huge moment in terms of just you're 1-0 down at home with a penalty in the second game of the season. If you miss, that can easily set the tone for the season there.
It just gets the ball rolling. And, you know, it's... there was a decent crowd there. It's in the sun. You want to get the crowd on your side. There is pressure on that penalty. And Long's done an amazing job of making sure he puts it away. It was an average penalty. He sent the keeper the wrong way, but if the keeper had gone the right way, I think he would have got it. But it doesn't matter. You know, he scored. And he's off the mark for this season. You know, I'm hoping now through August, he has a fantastic August before Mate and Zhao can try and get back into the squad. And it just helps the team get off the mark as well. You don't want to be going, you know, carrying on that rest of the game where we lost 1-0 against Blackpool, we're 1-0 down, we've missed a penalty, you know, is everything against us sort of thing. And the crowd just sort of start to turn. But, you know, it's a really positive crowd. That goal goes in. I went wild, long on the back of my shirt. You know, I went wild, very happy with it. Super happy to see him back in the stadium. And he's just got that aura around him that everyone wants to play with him. And everyone wants to see him do well.
Shane Long yesterday, outside of the actual penalty itself, had a really good game as well, I think, George. Sure. You know, he made a nuisance of himself all day for the Cardiff defenders. He won the flick on for Tom Ince's, you know, penalty win. Although he didn't have 8 shots, I think he had a really good game. And, you know, the standing ovation was well-deserved when he came off.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been crying out for a second striker that has been able to do, I think, what Zhao's good at, which is hold-up play. Being able to keep the ball for long periods when he gets fed it. And then offset it, which is exactly what Shane Long did yesterday. He's not going to... It's difficult to say how many goals he's going to get this season, how many chances, but I think Ince touched on it pretty well yesterday in his post-match, saying he's only going to get better from here. Because I think last season when you see him at Southampton, he didn't get a lot of game time. He's still trying to get up to match fitness. Obviously, he joined more recently. He's only had a couple of games with Reading since he's been back, because he had that little back injury, didn't he? But yeah, I can only see him pushing on from here. But his positional play as well is amazing. When the ball does get fed up to him, the ability to kind of almost back into the defender, that just brings experience in his game. And I think that really helped kind of drive us forward with Ince making runs off and Ajara on the other side. I think, yeah. And I think he's gonna get a few games in the team now, for sure, while Mate and Zhao are out.
There's the confidence around him as well. It's exactly, that everyone, yeah, you can trust him to always be working hard, to always be, you know, giving it off to other players. So other players want to play with him. You know, a couple of seasons ago, when we had Puskas playing, people didn't have confidence in him. The other players didn't have confidence in him. And you could see
the players not didn't pass to him.
Yeah, but they just didn't pass them. People want to pass to Shane Long and get him involved in the game. And you can see Ince running past him, knowing and trusting that Shane Long's going to flick it on or hold it up so he can pass it through. So he just brings other people in.
And the one thing I loved, which was very throwback Shane Long, was he still got that little feint when he makes a run. He's still got he jinks to the left and then he runs to the right. He's still got it, and it looks exactly the same as it did when he played for us all those years ago. Loved to see that. The rest of the first half pretty much went off of no incident. As far as I can remember, there was nothing happened up until just before half time. Andy Rinomoto went down with a head injury and came off. I'm not going to touch on that. People seem to have their own opinions on it, whether you dislike Andy Rinomoto now. Either way, that's completely, completely up to you. Second half, Matt, we came out fairly strong, I think, in the second half. And Cardiff, I don't really feel, ever got going at all in the second half. And it didn't take us that long to create a chance. And the scramble in the box from the corner, this could have resulted in a goal, certainly, for either Andy Yeardom or Tom Holmes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was expecting us to really start dropping off in the second half, given that this is our only 11. It's very hot. I don't expect their stamina to be up there. But we got stronger as the game went on. And, you know, that chance with Yeardom and... Was it Holmes, you said?
Mm.
Yeah, with the chance with Yeardom and Holmes. That could go in any day of the week. We're 2-1 up easily. It's just great defending by the Cardiff player, really. And unlucky that we didn't score. I think that's it. We just got stronger as it went on.
Yeah, he gets a good block in the Cardiff player there and it goes back out for a goal kick, I think, was given for some reason. But yeah. The second half definitely had I think we improved during the second half, certainly. And a lot of our good play, George, was coming down the left-hand side. And Guinness Walker, who missed, let's be honest, was a pretty big chance in the first half when he was stretching for it at the back post. He had a pretty good game, I think, yesterday with Ajari on that left-hand side. And their combination play, especially during the second half, was like really quite good to see. I think there's something promising there.
For sure. I mean, I was very impressed with Guinness Walker. He was actually probably one of my men of the match, it has to be said. I think last week he did struggle, and I think it was clear to see that that kind of raising the level coming up. It was a Wimbledon, wasn't he? That before, yeah. That kind of, yeah, rising level up to the championship. I think it kind of looked obvious in the Blackpool game last week, but the way he stepped up yesterday was, yeah, amazing to see. I mean, there was that one run as well I saw, I think it's sometime in the second half, where he completely sprinted, jinked, not the ball past a couple of players, and the pace on him was amazing to see. And the little link-up play with Ajari, as you say, in that second half is, yeah, it looks encouraging for sure. And I think he can go on to be a very good player for us.
And that link-up play actually ended up with us, you know, getting the ball into the centre of the field with, I think it was Guinness Walker who played the ball into Ajari, and then Ajari across to the eventual goal scorer, Tom Ince, Matt. And, you know, moving away from the actual build-up of this goal, Tom Ince is absolutely, and, you know, I can use this word because I think it describes it quite perfectly. He's absolutely twatted the ball, not into the top corner, but like basically the roof of the net here, hasn't he?
It's a fantastic shot. And I'm so glad it was Ince with the goal. You know, he worked so hard the whole game that, you know, when he's taking a pop shot from 24 yards and it goes into the top corner, you know, he totally meant it. I don't know if it got deflection. I can't quite tell. Did it not get deflection? So. It's a perfect shot then. And I think Ince Senior described it as lucky. But, you know, it's a great goal. And if he can do that even, you know, two or three times during the season, fantastic. And it just shows that the players can't drop off of him because he'll take those shots. And like, equally, they can't get really tight to him because he will just beat them for pace. He's fast becoming one of my favourite players in a Reading shirt just because he tries the whole game and he's calling other players forwards and he's commanding the front line rather than, you know, we're just waiting for someone in defence to shout out, you know, everyone out of the box. Like, he's pulling players out with him. So it's a fantastic goal. Really, really happy to see him back here this season.
Yeah, what do you think of Tom Ince, George, at the moment? I mean, as Matt said, he's definitely becoming one of my favourite players. The guy seems to leave everything on the field, doesn't he, every game?
Yeah, and I think it can only inspire players around him to do the same thing. I think just the way he's able to command... I think he's just a leader in that team, which is something I think we've been crying out for. And I think with the likes of Hutchinson being out, I don't see Iheanacho being that vocal, even though he is a good leader. You've got Tom Ince, though, barking at other players for not running
literally,
enough.
He literally will stand and shout at them.
Yeah.
I noticed it yesterday. You can see it in him. Yeah. If someone doesn't do something, he's there turning around like, absolutely, yeah. Screaming blue murder at them,
and he's there waving his arms about, trying to get players around him up the field, getting back into shape, whether we're defending. It's something we've been crying out for a few years now, and I can only say here, yeah, I'm starting to really love him.
I'm hoping, yeah, if we can see two or three of those, Matt, as you say, across the season from outside the box, then fantastic. It was very reminiscent of the goal he scored. Well, not quite exactly the same, but another goal from outside the area is similar to what he scored against Bournemouth last season. So, yeah, if he gets two or three of those this season, that would be fantastic.
Is that goal of the season in the first home game?
I mean, I hope not. Let's be honest. let's see another eight of them, and then we'll come back to it. Just after the goal, we saw a change. And this was the first sub of the game for us. And it came much earlier than I expected it to come, only 65 minutes in. And Abrifa came on at right back. And I was quite impressed with Abrifa, George, after he came on. He looks comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, he had a few spells, didn't he, where he dropped in at right back last season. And I think that's really kind of pushed him on going into this season now. When he came on, he looked very good at going forward. He looks a very offensively good wing back. There was that one opportunity where the ball came flying over and he managed to touch it down and knock it beyond their left back. He didn't actually manage to reach it, but the thought, and you can see what the intention there was. Defensively, I still have my doubts over Abrifa. He got that yellow card for pulling the shirt back But I think that was needed, actually, because I think Cardiff would...
I think I said that at the time. It was actually a really sensible time to take a yellow card because Cardiff were breaking on us very, very quickly there.
Yeah, I think they had a man over as well on the other side, and if that ball flew over, it was, it looked like a good chance for them. So I think it was sensible, actually, from his point of view. But, yeah, I think there is a player in there.
As well, you know, so, like... An 18, he's been in and around the squad because we've got no squad for about a year. But he's 18 and a half, I think, at the moment. Not every 18 and a half year old will probably go, oh, yeah, I probably should take the easy yellow just pull him back. He's beaten me. My mistake. I'll pull him back. It's fine. We can take the yellow. Everyone can get back into place and we can carry on with the game. And defensively, I kind of agree. Like, he's not up there yet, but he's 18. He probably always wants to get forwards and things like that, and he'll grow into it.
He should only get better with game time. Yeah. And I mean, added to that, because of the system we're playing with the five at the back and he's playing as a wing back, maybe he's just not asked to defend as much in this system as potentially you would be if you're a traditional actual right back rather than a wing back. The other player who came on with 10 minutes to go after Shane Long's standing ovation was, and I get to show off, I think, hopefully, if I've got this right, Kelvin Ihabishaman. And I'll take the praise on that one. I've not practiced that, so I'm hoping that's correct. Matt, I was quite impressed with him. I can see, you know, that he could sit on the bench for this season and come on with 5-10 minute cameos because he made some good touches and he did hold the ball up nicely at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think I think I need to see him longer to make a solid opinion of him. But he, for 10 minutes, he was effective. He's 18 as well. Yeah, so he was super effective. I didn't realize how tall he was, in all honesty, until he came on. That came six, on did
six
the job.
Or something 6'4".
Yeah, he's really, really tall for a striker as well. He's very tall. I think he could still probably bulk out a bit more. He looks like he could slightly be pushed off the ball a bit easily. But he did a good job of just running after the ball, harrying the defense. Yeah. And you know, Long's not going to last 90 minutes week in, week out. So if we can bring him on to just hurry the game through and, you know, and keep chasing defenders and being an annoyance, I'm more than happy with it.
Yeah, I think that's the key, really, isn't it? You've got to have somebody who can just reduce Shane Long's minutes a little bit as you get closer to the end of these games, just because it's going to be very difficult to see him playing 90 minutes Saturday, Tuesday every week at some points during the season if Joao and Mate are not fit at these points.
I mean, he pretty much hobbled off, didn't he, at 80 minutes long. Mm. He looked completely done in. But fitness will come for sure, I think, but he will struggle for a whole season doing that.
And I guess fitness is going to be one of these things which is going to be difficult for Reading over the season, especially with so many fixtures. And we've obviously got a cup fixture coming up on Tuesday. And Paul Ince, after the game yesterday, said that there would be multiple players who played yesterday who would probably have to play on Tuesday just because of the size of the squad. Matt, I'm not going to ask you which players you think might play because
who's available?
We don't know, do we? But which players would you like to see play overall from the whole squad, youth players, etc.? Is there any players you would like to see get, like, you know, 80 minutes, 90 minutes against Stevenage on Tuesday night?
So I'm going to flip it and say I don't want any of the first team to play.
Quite difficult.
Well, yeah, I get it's a bit impossible, but I would happily say none of the first team play. And there's this whole, let's respect the competition, let's respect the opposition. I mean, I'm not saying let's put out an under 18 because we expect to beat them. I'm saying let's put out an under 18 because it's not our priority this season. We're not going to win the Carlingco League Cup. You know, even if we got through two rounds, great, but it's actually just adding more minutes onto a squad who we don't want to have more minutes right now. So I would happily put out the under 18s, give everyone a load of minutes. Do we get 5 subs in the League Cup as well?
I would assume so, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's assume we do. Yeah, make a load of subs at halftime. Treat it as a bit of a training game. And if they lose 2-0 against Stevenage, it doesn't matter. We can carry on with the rest of the season focusing on the league. And if they win, great. It's the youngsters that can get a bit of experience, get a bit of game time in front of the home crowd, and try and break into the squad.
George, is there any players on Tuesday you would like to see play in the team, apart from just the general under-18s, as Matt's called them? Is there any players you'd be excited to see play?
I think Bezanis in goal. He would most likely start. And I think he actually had there was one game in preseason. I think he saved a penalty and had a pretty decent game. I mean, we're talking about both Kelvins. I think to see him actually start a game and play a majority will kind of really kind of give us an idea of how they can actually fit into the first team going in through the league. Because let's be honest, they're only going to be really used as sub players in the league. So it'd be good for them to kind of get more development in them. But yeah, I think I can only really agree. I don't see many first team. Can't see why we would use any other first team players, especially the ones who start games.
Just nice compliment to the youngsters on Tuesday, exactly. Perhaps.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see Jack Clark get 90 minutes. He impressed me during the friendlies at centre-back. And if he can, maybe if he starts alongside Tom Holmes or McIntyre on Tuesday, I could see that being a scenario which would make a lot of sense. And then I think in midfield, if you've got maybe Levy, who came on during some of the friendlies in pre-season, would be nice to see him get some game time. And then, as you say, I think it's probably inevitable that Bezanis plays in goal on Tuesday, and maybe Ehibishaman plays up front, and then maybe we even see some, like, you know, 16, 17 year olds on the bench. I know he's got a brother, Kelvin Ehibishaman, so he's meant to be really exciting. I think there was a lot of Premier League teams in for him, and you know, maybe we see two Ehibishamans, and then there's two players in the squad who people can't pronounce. After that, Matt, we've got Rotherham next weekend. Obviously, Rotherham is going to be a massive game for us this season because they're going to be one of the clubs who are near us in the table probably at the end of the season. Just give me a score prediction. What do you think the score is going to be?
I'm going to say 1-1. I don't see us getting a clean sheet yet. And for me, it's just don't lose. Don't drop 2 points to Rotherham. So 1-1.
George?
Know what? I'm going to sneak in a little 1-0. I think we will get that clean sheet. I mean, I haven't seen what Rotherham have been like so far this season, but I think they've been fairly average. But I guess I think we can see, well, depending if we can get this Naby Sarr deal done this week, because he's been training with the squad, hasn't he? I think if he can get this confirmed this week, if he's back in that defence, you've got Tom Holmes, McIntyre and Naby Sarr, that back three. If Hutchinson's not back, he might be back. I don't know. I think I'm a bit more optimistic about a little 1-0.
Back in the clean sheet, George.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely at least gets a point. And Rotherham do have a slight advantage in the fact that they were meant to be playing today, which is Sunday. But their game has been postponed against Coventry because of the fact that the Coventry Bank Society, whatever the stadium is called, the old Rico Arena, the pitch is basically just
ridiculous,
and they can't play on it. So Rotherham have actually got a weekend off today, or this weekend, so they'll come into the game.
I don't think that benefits them really.
I don't think so either, particularly. But Rotherham will have some time off, I guess, but obviously they're then playing in the cup midweek, so does it really make that much of a difference? Probably not. I'm going to back us and say that we're going to get at least a point on Saturday. And I think Matt's right. I think not losing has got to be the key next weekend. If you don't lose and you've got one win, one draw, one loss for the first three, it's more than acceptable. And I think that would be perfectly fine. Jacob will be back during the week with a preview podcast coming out on Thursday with, I believe it will be somebody from New York Talk, the Rotherham podcast. And they're all really very lovely guys. So I'm sure the podcast will be a fantastic listen. We will be back after the Rotherham game of the weekend with a roundup from Yorkshire as to how we've done. Fingers crossed that Reading can bring home 3 points. Thank you, George, for joining me today. And thank you, Matt, for coming on as well. I've been Alex, your host. Thank you for listening to the Unparked Rules podcast. We will talk to you very soon. Cheers.